Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our Rethink podcast with my sidekick, Cole. Cole, you have a starring role in my sermon this weekend.
I do. I can't wait to shoot it.
I know. It's going to be...
It's been too long since I've been in a casino, and I'm just dreaming of it.
That's usually because of your parole officer saying you weren't allowed to go there. But
no, I'm allowed to go to casinos. I'm not allowed to go to Godbine bars. So one of the main things we do at our church, I'm not allowed to do.
But is that true?
Last month, I'm off probation.
We have a very low bar.
Very low
for hiring. Yeah. So
when I
send your applications
when I applied to be an intern, there, I had a separate meeting where Michael was like, "Hey, so you don't pass a background check? Can you explain these to me?" And it was the perfect, like, we have grace here. I need you to explain this before I make a judgment, and I could explain it because I had to explain it to a judge a couple times, and we were good.
Yeah,
it was safe.
Anyway,
I don't know the segment from there.
So you have a lot of confidence in your church.
Yeah, a lot. Actually, that segment's kind of well into what we want to talk about today.
Do it.
Let's tie it in. So my biggest thing right now, so I'm going through a devotional book right now, going through Proverbs.
The biggest thing you're doing is that you're on day three of running.
I'm on day three of running, which is shocking. I should have gone today, but I slept.
What did you do instead? Four Krispy Kremes.
You
ate four Krispy Kremes.
And a Pepsi.
Yeah,
but there wasn't any coffee made, so I was like, I need caffeine.
So I'm going to run or eat four
Krispy Kremes. I didn't have any Oreos last night. I ate all the Oreos last week in our house. Since quarantine started, I have gone through 9 family packs of mint Oreos because I love them. They're delicious. I'm really big right now. It's not good. I literally put on...
The chest-belly ratio is not working out.
I put these shorts on today. Taylor looked at me and I was like, I could be a muffin for Halloween right now. I mean, it was just all really tight and then hanging over.
Oh, when your wife listen goes... You should go back to the gym.
Yeah. It's like, really? Thank you. Really? Yeah.
And you can't ever say that the other way.
No.
Marriage tip.
I would never.
Right? Know, dating tip is dating. Like, you never, like, no.
No, not a chance.
No, those jeans don't make you look heavy.
You look good. Do you have another pair that you look good in?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and the answer is all of them.
All of them. You look great in all of them.
We just save marriages.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's just effortless.
We can shut the podcast down now. We did what we had to do.
Thanks.
But I've been reading this book and each day walking through different verses in Proverbs. And it bounces around. It's not like reading it in order. It bounces around for different topics. And the biggest challenge to me so far has been looking at self-control.
Really?
Shocking. Which, without the Oreo comment or the Krispy Kreme comment, it still shows up everywhere in my life that there's zero self-control. But I wanted to bring that here because I think I have a lot of conversations with guys and it's easy for me to relate to them when they're talking about stuff. And it's like, oh, self-control is the issue here. And self-control is usually a ripple effect of other issues down the road. But one thing that I wanted us to like talk about today and start like throwing out there is like where we're struggling at with self-control and what it looks like to like claim some of that back.
Okay.
And so the verse, I should have written it down. I got it saved. The verse that was the most, which one was it? It was Proverbs 25:28, and the verse is like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. And so that was super, as I read that a couple days ago, it was a couple weeks ago, I've still been thinking about it. That idea of looking at a city with broken walls and how easily it's penetrated, how weak it is, how quickly it can fall. And once it falls, here's the ripple effect of what happens in a war, in a storm, whatever that is. So thinking through that verse, thinking through like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Where would you start at, or where have you started at when you're like, here's where my life has fallen apart self-control-wise, and here's how I've started to rebuild?
Yeah, I think you landed there with the last word you said, and that was rebuild. Okay, so all of us have things that have broken down, and we go, I messed that up. And so then you have to go, okay, let's go, what's the right word? Reverse engineer, whatever that is, going, how did I get here? You're right.
Yeah.
So how did I get here that ended up with this? And then you kind of go back up. So you have to rebuild some walls, right? And sometimes those walls have to be, okay, it's a proven weak spot in my life. So the wall needs to even be bigger, all right? Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, the way I'm going to get stronger to resist, say you're addicted to alcohol, is I'm going to go to a bar every night and not drink.
White knuckle it.
Maybe someday, but not day one.
Yep.
Okay. It's like, okay, you got to build that muscle memory up, all right? And so I'd say, first of all, you have to be honest and identify what went wrong, okay? And then start putting things, barriers in place. So if you know, I know a lot of guys listen to us, and so substances and probably
sexual
stuff like that is tied to an identity thing, so like, or food, right? You can't just stop eating.
Yeah.
and you can't just stop being sexual or whatever that is. And so how do you do that? With alcohol, you can remove yourself from the presence. How do you remove yourself from food or the things that you have to deal with every day? And so the one thing is, okay, I'm going to rebuild some walls. One of my walls that got collapsed and I got ambushed is that I thought I could do it by myself. And this is where especially men have a hard time being transparent because it looks weak. Or this seems like a lot of stakes. So let's say I struggle with porn, right? And I say, okay, I cannot, and every therapist would say, you cannot break addictions on your own, okay? And somebody's going to write in and go, I did. All right? Okay.
Cool. Good for you.
Well, you and Jesus.
Yep.
Now there's two, all right? So,
yeah.
That was sarcasm.
I heard it, yeah.
So the thing is, there's a lot at stake when you go, okay, first of all, I have to be transparent and go, Cole, I struggle with this and I've made mistakes in it. And they look like this and as recently as this.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
And then, so in Crucible,
yep.
There's this one point where you kind of say, hey, this is something going on in my life and I've not told anybody and I'm going to say it. And the metaphor I have is you hand out bullets and hope people don't shoot you with it.
Yep.
And it's a risk.
Yep.
Right. So big truth, big grace, little truth, little grace. So what I would do is you have to risk going, I can't do this in isolation. You're not my Holy Spirit. You're not my conscience. Mm-hmm. You're not my willpower, but I need a friend, a companion. Because if you look at all there and all through Proverbs, mm-hmm. there's like, hey, iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And the person who tries to do it by themselves and isolation, pity the man who falls down, has no one to pick him back up.
Yep.
Okay. So there's all these things going, okay, if I have self-control, I'm not going to do this on my own. Mm-hmm. This seems like almost a oxymoron. Self-control involves some other people in my life.
Right.
But it's true.
Yep.
Right. One is if I say it out loud to you, whatever it is loses a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that at all. But if I have a secret that I'm hiding, it owns me. And when I say, Cole, I drink too much every night and nobody knows about it. And I'm covered in shame. Somehow that it loses some of its power.
Yeah. The problem's not gone, but the power is gone.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of like when you're in debt. I remember when I was $155,000 in debt and I'm like, it's crushing me. And every day is a panic and I'm going off, right? Mm-hmm. Then I sat down with Michael and we made a plan and my stress went away. I had the exact amount of debt load,
mm-hmm.
but now I had a plan. And somehow just making a plan helps a lot. So that would be step one,
yeah.
Okay? The other part of it is self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow directly tied to the presence of Christ in your life, the more Christ is in your life, the fruit of the Spirit comes out. Not because you're like, I'm going to try to have self-control. Yeah. It's like an apple going, I'm going to push out an apple.
Yep.
It's like, it's a natural fruit of Christ being in your life. And so I'm being honest with a friend. I'm also being honest with Jesus. And I'm saying, hey, Jesus, I need more of you in my life, not so I can beat this thing that keeps beating me, mm-hmm. but because one of the byproducts might be that, but I need you to walk this with me. Mm-hmm. I need you to walk through this valley with me.
That's right? Really good. So going back then to step one, telling the right friend is great.
Yeah.
Even
if you have to pay $200 an hour to a therapist.
Yep.
Which is what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. To say, okay, my first up at bat, mm-hmm. it's probably not going to be to my wife.
Yep.
And it's not going to be to my lead team or my elders. It's going to be to Harv and I'm going to pay him $200 and I can sue his butt. And have him dislike if he says anything.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, if you're going to wade into the water of revealing your shame, I was talking to a guy the other day who has gone through a whole bunch of stuff from like 13 all the way up till his mid-20s, yep. right? Never told anybody about it, came to the surface, sat down with his counselor, got halfway through it and walked out and goes, I'm not going to do this, right?
Yep.
He took like three counseling sessions to get to a person who wasn't going to judge and actually probably heard it all before, but he'd never said it out loud before, okay? So that takes a lot of courage,
mm-hmm.
a lot of courage. You got to find the right person.
Yep.
And then sometimes, I mean, biblically, if you're going to confront someone in sin, so I think it must happen. I'm going to go out on a limb here make an interpretation of the Bible.
Yep.
If you're caught, if I catch you in sin, mm-hmm. my Christian responsibility is not to go report you to everybody, but to go to you one-on-one and go, hey buddy,
yeah.
that was buddy and Cole, right? Hey, this is going on in your life, and because I love you, I'm calling you out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might go, screw pound you, sand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So then I might go get John C and the two of us going to go, hey, we both see this.
Yep.
It's not just me. All right. And you might say pound sand then. And then I might get some people in leadership to go, hey, we want to get to know your life, not to punish you, but to restore you. Yep. Right. I'm going to assume it's the same way. Flip back towards me. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go tell the world. You know, you see those pastors stand on stage. I have sinned. Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time I've sinned. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do the details to the 15,000 of my closest friends. Yep. It's none of your freaking business. Yep. All right. Yeah. But sometimes I think when I leave it vague and go, yeah, I have some really dark stuff in my life. Everybody fills in, well, I have this stuff. Yeah. I think it's why Paul says he has a thorn in his flesh.
Yeah. Because if he said, I have a.
Yeah. I struggle with this. Everybody goes, well, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Right. I think it's the other way. It's like, I don't go announce it to the world. I find one person and then I go, okay, now how can I broaden this to get maybe more help in my mm-hmm. life? And then I might go a little bit wider. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the, of self-control, the things that we lack self-control, the ones that bother us are usually linked to shame.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if it is, I can't control my eating, it's not because, and I'm afraid I'm going to get diabetes. It's like, and when I don't have that control, it makes me feel weak, you know,
yep.
slothy, fat, unattractive. Yep. And then what kind of person am I?
Yeah.
So I blame my lack of self-control. That's the food's not the problem. Mm-hmm. It's when I don't have self-control, then there's this truth about me that may or not be true that I feel. Mm-hmm. So like if you're going, I just can't stop making money.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Nobody tries to break that addiction, all right? You know, or you know, I just can't help being handsome. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, we both struggle with that.
I get it, yeah. Right? You know, but if it's something shameful, that's where it comes up because it's like, I have to bring that out in the light mm-hmm. and that makes me look weak.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. And yeah, that weakness is terrifying.
Yeah.
That's really good. So for the person who goes to their counselor first, because it's they're going to dip their toe in the water and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, when they're trying to pick the right friends to keep around them, the Scott's analogy from whatever, 7 years ago of like,
who's Scorch?
Scorch Knuckles, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's at your table?
Right.
How do you pick those people? So it's like a couple weeks ago, you said you're starting to relearn that there's people that you've put around you that when you got hurt with the sabbatical stuff, you realized, I do trust them and I'm learning to trust them again and retrust them. How do you start building that trust with people so that, because I think when I look at the area of self-control in my life or in other people's lives, you really don't bring it out until the shame is so overwhelming or the effect of what's going on is so overwhelming that it's like going back now, it's impossible unless I have 50 people around me pushing me.
Right.
So for you right now,
somebody said it like this, nothing's going to change until your level of desperation exceeds your level of embarrassment. Hmm. And there's something that rhymes in there.
Yeah.
I don't remember the right words.
Yeah.
But when your desperation exceeds your embarrassment level, then you go, okay,
here
it is.
Yeah,
right?
That's good. So in the midst of where you're at right now mm-hmm. and rebuilding that trust with the people around you, the circles around you, the whoever that is, might be your lead team, might be people outside this place, whatever.
Right.
What does that look like?
Yeah. So I taught on this when we were doing the Sermon on the Mount, but it's really interesting because we're doing a series on faith. Mm-hmm. And faith and relationships, they grow in the same way. And that is shared experiences over time. And there's no shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm teaching on Noah next week.
Yep.
And it's like Noah had walked with God for a long time before the whole ark flood thing got, yep. right? Because like I started following God. And the next day,
I said, build an
ark. That, you know, and I was like, no, all right? Because that faith couldn't handle that, right? So relationships take time. You and Taylor or Robin and I, we met each other. And then we started sharing experiences mm-hmm. and they either define the relationship or reveal the relationship or like, yeah, I want to go further with this. And then we go through a hard time. And as we made it through the other side of it, then it strengthened that relationship and the trust grew. And then one of us made a mistake and then the trust went down. Mm-hmm. And then we repaired that and then the trust was even greater, mm-hmm. right? So it's the same thing with building up accountability or friends or men at your table or women at your table, mm-hmm. Whatever that is, hey, there is no church program that can say, hey, we're going to put you in a group of five people and you can spill your guts and trust them.
Day one.
Heck no. Yep. All right. Shared experiences over time. That's why we trust God mm-hmm. or you don't, based on your experiences with God over time. Mm-hmm. He's proved faithful or I'm so mad at him right now that I don't trust him at mm-hmm. all. So I tapped out. So it's the same thing with someone you're going to date or marry. It's the same one with somebody you're going to go, hey, I got to tell you something that nobody knows. The only person I'm going to tell that to is somebody that has shared enough experiences with me over time mm-hmm. that I know they're not going to turn around and shoot me with it.
Yeah.
But you've got to get started today.
Yeah.
finding those people. And you say, well, I don't have those people in my life. Then you call the church and say, I need a counselor and I don't have any money. All right. So let me wrap this up because this is really, really important. Okay. So the first thing is self-control. First of all, the only person that you are told to control in the whole universe is yourself. So control your tongue, right? And then control yourself. And that is from God. Okay. So you have to pursue God. And one of the byproducts of that is self-control, right? So as you do that, you know, you become a more loving person. You become a more patient person, right? If you want to, don't pray for patience. The way you get patience is just test it. It's like praying, I want big muscles. Well, then you're gonna hurt for a while.
You're gonna be a little guy.
You're gonna get overloaded, and then you're gonna get sore and right like that. But there's no shortcut to that, right? So it's the same thing with finding the self-control is something that takes time, and it's directly tied to your relationship with God. It just is, okay? So so we'll go back to the food. When I eat too much, I feel fat, and that makes me feel ashamed because I must be a crappy person. Okay, that's a statement about relationship with God, because God would never call you a crappy person.
Yeah.
Based on how you look.
Yep.
All right. So you believe something that's not true because God says it's not true. Mm-hmm. All right. So right there, it says there's a relationship there between how you feel and what God says is true, and you're blaming food.
Yeah.
Okay. So your self-control and your relationship with God is tight. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing is on the big things of life, especially the things that are part of your character and your identity and your being, your sexuality, your whatever that is, your being, right? Mm-hmm. Those are so core and so personal. The irony is that you cannot do it by yourself, right? You cannot stay sober by yourself. You cannot break addictions by yourself. You can gut it out. We can all gut it out for a while. That's what I talked about last week, right? I can be all collaborative for a while and I'm exhausted and then you just want to go back to the way it was. So it's God and it's other people. But here's the other one I want to leave you with, okay? We live in a culture of victimhood and that says it's not my fault and I can't help it.
Yep.
And I've had some really crappy things happen to me that were not my fault, but they led to choices in my life that I made that are my sin. And I can't go back a couple of decades and go, yeah, I wouldn't sin if he hadn't done that or she hadn't done that. Now, I don't know. You can't change the past.
Right.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Right. Those things happened way in my past. And since that time, I've been making choices. Right. And I can no longer blame that because I have God, I have Christ, I have men like you in my life. I'm almost without an excuse that I go, some of the reason, and for me, a lot of times, most of the reason that I still struggle with certain areas of self-control in my life, it's not God's fault and it's not anybody else's fault. For some reason, and I can only speak for myself, is I don't want to stop.
Yep, me too.
Deep down in my core is like, I kind of like being naughty. I kind of like getting away with stuff. I kind of like the rush of that. I have this thing that nobody knows about. Right. Yeah. And I don't think I'm the only one.
Yeah.
Right. But there's this thing back when I have to make a choice, and it always starts with a change of mind. And then once you change your mind about something and set it on something right, higher, good, God, right. Then my first step usually then is, hey, God, let's do this together. And then, hey, Cole, I need your help in this. And there's no guarantees in even that.
Yeah.
But I can almost guarantee you're going to fail again without those things.
Absolutely. That's really good. Thanks.
All right.
See you next week. Okay.